Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and good judgment than silver. Proverbs 16:16. Lamentations 3:22-23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. And 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. You see this verse on the screen before you, and you see it on the back of today's bulletin. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Our purpose for being here, as always, is to focus our attention upon these magnificent verses of God's Word. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of learning the mind of Jesus Christ so that we might be able to function according to His plan for our lives. There's no way that we can function properly if we are not living our lives in the divine sphere of power, which means that we're in fellowship with Him. We have a desire to know Him and to really know Him and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given us a system which we call the grace system of comprehension. That simply means that when we spend these few moments in prayer and we're restored to a right relationship, a fellowship with our Savior, it is then that God gives us the ability to comprehend spiritual truths. Some may receive spiritual truths to receive 25 or 30 or 40 or 50% of what is being said. On the other hand, there may be individuals who are receiving 75 or 80 or 90%. But whatever the percentage is, it's God's Word coming into your innermost being. And so the desire that you and I ought always have is that we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the light of what has been said, let's bow for a moment of prayer. We express our thanks today, our Heavenly Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the fact that we have the assurance that He is our personal Savior, and that we're members of that magnificent family called the Royal Family of God. When we stop to think about that, we're overwhelmed because we fully realize or even partially realize that what you have done and are doing for us is so great, and sometimes it's far beyond our comprehension. Help us to understand the importance of living our lives inside of that divine power sphere, that we can be properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have a relaxed mental attitude. We can be perceptive and desirous to be applying the truth of your word. We can have a right relationship with our Heavenly Father, with our loved ones, and with our friends. And that we can utilize spiritual truth so that we can be happy, radiant, triumphant individuals. We realize that you desire for us to be victorious. Our lives on the earth are very short. We're not going to be here much longer at the longest. And so we pray that we will keep our priorities straight. Help us to keep our focus clear. And now in these moments we're studying, we pray that we will have the desire to receive and then utilize the things we learn. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We spend just a moment on Revelation 1:8 before we go back to where we left off a few moments ago. In Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, the God, the one being, that is who is, and the one who was, and the one coming, the Almighty. What is always amazing to me in the original language is to discover how the words are used. This morning in the first session, we looked at the word ego, I. We looked at the verb of being, I am, E-I-M-I. We looked for a few moments at the article to, which is the Alpha. The conjunction kai, K-A-I. And then the article, again, to. The article that's used here is the Alpha. The article that is used here is the Omega. Says, Kyrios, Lord, Ho, Theos, the God. And then you'll notice again how the articles are used. The one being. That means the one who is. Conjunction kai again. Article again. The one who was. Conjunction kai again and article again. The one coming. Article again. The Almighty. I usually don't part out the articles like that, but I wanted you to see how fantastic it is. The one coming is a present middle participle, nominative masculine singular of erchomai, E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Jesus Christ is going to come to receive His own unto Himself at the time called the rapture. At the close of the tribulation period of 7 years, Jesus Christ will come with His saints back to establish His kingdom on the earth. We've analyzed for a little while the fact that the tribulation is a terrible time. It is a time of great pain and heartache and a lot of difficulty, even to the point that the last 3.5 years referred to as the Great Tribulation. And yet in the midst of all of that turmoil and difficulty is a time of sensational evangelism. What is so interesting to me is that there are people who reject the coming of Jesus Christ now, and there will be people in the tribulation who will, even at that time, reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Scripture says in Revelation 1:7, it's the ones who pierced Him with a javelin. In other words, in so many words, what individuals have done and are doing, even in our day, not only the Jews, but others as well, they are saying no to the salvation message of Jesus Christ. How sad, how tragic, how terrible that is. And even during the tribulation, there will be, yea, hundreds and perhaps even thousands of individuals. Because the Scripture says in Revelation 1:7, and then in our passage here, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be coming in the clouds, and people will see Him, and they will grieve. Some of the translations say mourn. The word is grieve. They'll grieve. How tragic to reject Jesus Christ. On the screen now you see the timeline again. We'll only emphasize for a few moments the fact that Jesus Christ comes on the scene during the age of Israel. He was born in the age of Israel. He died in the age of Israel. He was resurrected in the age of Israel. The age of Israel was cut short by 7 years. The 7 years will be the consummation in the tribulation. We have the shortage of 7 years. The age of Israel was cut short. The tribulation is the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel. We look at this diagram and see that there's an emphasis upon where you and I now live. It's a time of magnificent grace. This is the grace period. God is so good to us, and it bothers me that oftentimes myself and you as well are so indifferent to what God has for us at this particular time in history. God desires that you and I advance and grow and live our lives in His magnificent sphere of power, that we will have the mind of Jesus Christ. Our time is short. We don't have very long. Even the youngest person in this auditorium, you don't have very long. If you live to be 110, from wherever you are right now, I promise you, that's not very long. And you compare that to 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 years, and it just should behoove us to focus our attention in the right direction. We're living in the church age, the age of grace. About 30 A.D. to 2,000 plus A.D., most of you know where we are right now, 2013. This is the dispensation of the church, the time when the age of Israel was interrupted, the universal indwelling of all believers by the Holy Spirit, the availability of the divine power sphere. We're living in a time where no prophecy is being fulfilled except for the fact that the rapture is being presented. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus Christ is the Alpha, which is an emphasis upon deity. Jesus Christ is the Omega, the emphasis upon humanity. It is important for us to be able to see, and I have so much information to give you. I have a hard time sometimes deciding what is really the most important facet for this particular point. I'll go like this. Alpha and Omega principles. You might want to take some of these thoughts down. Omega glory reveals that Jesus Christ controls history. Omega glory, Alpha and Omega, Omega glory reveals that Jesus Christ controls history. Number two, Jesus Christ is Alpha, was and is eternal God. But Jesus Christ as Omega controls history. I wish I could just look into your minds and see if you're comprehending what is being presented between the difference on the one hand of Alpha glory and Omega glory. Alpha is an emphasis upon deity, divine. Omega is an emphasis upon humanity and the hypostatic union. Number three, historical blessings are administered through the client nation of God. When I emphasize the fact that we as members of the United States of America make up a client nation, what does that mean? It means that a lot of people in this nation are born into God's kingdom and perceptive to God's plan. And those who have understood the divine plan of being restored to fellowship, understanding the various aspects of having a right mental attitude, understanding organizational and various aspects of humility, and get over here to the point of perception and application, when they have a comprehension of that and they're growing in grace, they make up a part of what is known as the pivot. What I mean by the name pivot is these are believers who are properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. The question that I have in my own thinking is this pivot in the United States of America large enough for us to be preserved? My goal is to help you and myself to be desirous not only of being a faithful member of that pivot, but be a part of enlarging that pivot. So, historical blessings are administered through the client nation of God. But notice also, historical disaster is usually administered through some evil anti-nation. We could spend a lot of time there, but let's move on to the various principles related to Alpha and Omega. Number 5, Alpha refers to the pre-incarnate Christ as eternal God, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now you'll have to think with me a moment about that. Alpha refers to the pre-incarnate Christ. Pre-incarnate, what does that mean? That means before the incarnation. That means before the hypostatic union. That means before Jesus Christ in the flesh. Pre-incarnate, before the incarnation. Alpha refers to the pre-incarnate Christ as eternal God, co-equal with the Father and co-equal with the Holy Spirit. Look with me for a few moments in your mind at a triangle. Deity 1, Deity 2, Deity 3. In the eternal ages past, we look at the members of the Godhead and we see righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, immutability, and veracity. The Father had these characteristics. Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, had and has these characteristics. The Holy Spirit had and has these characteristics. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and veracity. If I came and sat by your side today and said to you, would you please give me those 10 that I just gave you? And I would be so proud because you'd be able to name every one of them. And then I would ask you to take a sheet of paper and write some information about sovereignty and righteousness and justice and love and eternal life and omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence and immutability and veracity. And you'd say, thank you for repeating those. And you can write a lot about it. Alpha refers to the pre-incarnate Christ as eternal God, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. 6, Omega glory is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. Think with me, Omega glory is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, which began at the resurrection, ascension, and session. Sometimes I wonder if everyone understands what we mean by the words resurrection, ascension, and session. I think it's well for me to recapitulate, even though I would believe that most everyone in this auditorium would understand. There came a point of time when Jesus Christ came out of the grave bodily, a bodily resurrection. Do you see the importance of a bodily resurrection? The reason for there being a bodily resurrection is because the Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, conquered some things that needed to be conquered. One of those was a spiritual difficulty that needed to be conquered. The other was a physical difficulty that needed to be conquered. Now, if you're listening, you're going to see something, and that is, God conquered that spiritual difficulty by giving Himself spiritually and physically to satisfy the Heavenly Father and provide redemption for mankind. You were born physically alive and spiritually dead. You were born physically alive and spiritually dead. That simply means that you were born dichotomously, body and soul. But when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you were transformed from dichotomy to trichotomy. Body, soul, now body, soul, and spirit. When you were moved by the Spirit of God in regeneration to move from dichotomy to trichotomy, God gave you and me the ability to comprehend spiritual phenomena. That's the reason why a dichotomous person, a lost person, cannot comprehend spiritual things. Because the Bible says they're not spiritually alert. But when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, God worked the miracle of regeneration and moved you from dichotomy to trichotomy and gave you and me the ability to appreciate, comprehend, categorize things in the realm of the spiritual. That's the reason why we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study, so that you can be in, and I can be in fellowship, so that we can properly receive the impartation and dissemination of God's Word. All of this came as a result of the resurrection, ascension, Jesus Christ ascending and sitting session at the Father's right hand. There we have the meaning of the resurrection, ascension, and session. Omega glory, then, is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. In just a few moments, if I have time, I want to reiterate some things about the hypostatic union. Number 7, the Omega glory, we have included the following things: the virgin birth, the hypostatic union, the humanity of Jesus Christ, His impeccability, His spiritual death. Could I stop for a few moments and say that many people don't understand, and they have a hard time comprehending what we mean when we use the word spiritual death. I need to go back and pick up a little bit where I left off a few moments ago. And that is the two problems. There was the problem of the spiritual, and the Lord dissolves that problem, solves that problem with being born again. In other words, you must be born again. And that's the reason why there has to be belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when there's belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, God works the miracle of regeneration, and that person becomes a saved individual. But you know what? Even as a saved individual, and as all of us are saved individuals, we're living in a dying body. And so all of us must realize that God also worked a situation out so that we could be the recipient of a resurrection body, a glorified spiritual resurrection body. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we were in a colored church, a Negro church, all of you would have said, yes, but you are not black. We're hoping we can have some more black folks. We had some Wednesday night. Maybe they can say amen, and that'll be like saying sigma to a dog anyway. Okay, so much for that. The Omega glory, virgin birth, hypostatic union, humanity, impeccability, spiritual death, saving work, redemption, propitiation. You just thought that page was the end of it. Reconciliation, imputation, somatic death of Jesus Christ on the cross, His physical death, bodily resurrection, and the awarding of the third monopoly. Now, some of you are going to say, what in the world is that? Our Heavenly Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ a family. So we have deity. There's His monopoly, a patent. Then the Scripture says that Jesus Christ is the Son of David, the Davidic monopoly. And then there came a point of time when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and the Father said to Him, Son, you don't have a patent. You don't have a monopoly. I'm going to give you a monopoly. I'm going to give you a patent. And that monopoly is going to be made up of every born-again believer from the time of Pentecost until the time of the rapture. Every born-again believer, you and I are a part of that. That's our Lord's third monopoly, or patent. Can you see how fantastic that is? That is saying that every person who's been born into God's family from the time of Pentecost until the time of the rapture make up that third patent or that third monopoly. That's the reason why I put down here all of these things, imputation, physical death, all these things, and he gave him an award. And it was a third monopoly. Number 8. Revelation is the history of our Lord's royal monopoly. I just tried to explain that. I've written it out for you here. When given, what must happen before the second advent? And what happens down to the end of the world? I just want you to know that not anything is going to take the Lord by surprise. Just put it down. There's not anything that's happening in the United States of America right now that's taking our Lord by surprise. You and I are on the winning side. Jesus Christ controls history. God said to the Lord Jesus Christ, in essence, at the cross, I'm going to give you a third monopoly, a third patent, and it's going to be called a royal patent. Revelation is the history of our Lord's royal monopoly. When given, what must happen before the second advent, and what happens down to the end of the world. Number 9, summary of Omega glory includes his uniqueness as the God-man. It's going to take a while to get this over. I'll be back on it on Wednesday night. And you'll have questions, and that's okay. Some of you are saying, well, what do you mean, Alpha glory, Omega glory? Just stay with me. Keep listening. And it'll be beautiful when it all dawns on you. One of these days you'll say, you know what? I've been listening to that preacher, and he's told me to put things in the shelf, and my shelves are full. But one of these days, the spotlight of God's Word shines on a particular area where you put it in the shelf and you say, wow, I see it now. I understand it now. I appreciate what God has done for me and is doing for me. And it's a wonderful thing. I can see Alpha glory. And I can see Omega glory. And I can see the difference. And some of you are saying, I wish I could say I see it. Summary of Omega glory includes his uniqueness as the God-man. The work on the cross, Acts 4:12, John 14:6. Some of you memorize Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father except by me. It's interesting that Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the ways. You just choose whichever way you want to go. I'm some of the truth, not all the truth. When you get real smart, you'll know more truth than what the Bible says. And there are a lot of people out there today who think they know more than what God knows. Isn't that something? It's humanism, if you want to put a word to it. And, they're smart. Oh, they're brilliant. A lot of them are intelligent, but they're intelligent fools. And they have a special day that's been designated for them. The scripture says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So there is a special day that's set aside. It's called April Fools. That should be funny to some of you folks, but I can see it isn't. Okay. Number 10, the royal patent. The third monopoly was given without a royal family. And the church age was inserted to provide our Lord his royal family forever. I've explained it. Now I've written it out for you to see. If you'll notice in the scripture, we've studied it this morning. I told you, but I don't think you got it. Kurios, Lord, comes before Theos. I said it, didn't I? Did you understand what I said when I said it? Someone said, when the preacher preaches, say it, and say it again and again and again and say it again. So I'm saying it again. Kyrios, Lord, comes before Theos to emphasize His incarnation, which is the Omega glory. Theos emphasizes His Alpha glory. Just take it. Even if you don't understand it, just take it. The one being, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who's coming, the Almighty. Now I have 5 pages of information to give you in the next hour. I'm not hungry, so I'm ready to go. But on Wednesday night, when you're not hungry, we'll look at it. Let's bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ. How fantastic it is for us today to see again that You have such a wonderful plan for us. We're here, probably won't be here all that long, even if we should live many, many more years. But one of these days, we're going to be gone from this earth. We're going to leave either by means of physical death or by means of the rapture. And when that time comes, we'll be absent from the body and at home with our Lord. And so we've been told then that You've taken care of our situation, which is a spiritual situation and a physical situation. You've taken care of our spiritual situation by making possible a spiritual birth. And You're going to take care of our physical situation because You're going to give us a new, resurrected, glorified spiritual body. And we are thankful for the provisions. For those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that even now they would realize the importance of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says it's by faith, faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those who will trust You. And we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
My soul thirsts for You, and my flesh yearns for You. In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, my soul.